Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
Today, we're going to begin a very important chapter, chapter 36, and God willing, we'll conclude this chapter. This chapter is important because it brings to end a section within the book of Genesis. We are going to close out one section and begin a new one when we begin next week, Genesis chapter 37. Chapter 37 begins with the life of Joseph. And this life and this account of his life continues on through the end of the book of Genesis and chapter 50. We see that Joseph, he sets a foundation. He, as both Jewish and Christian scholars comment, he is a type of image, a typology for understanding the Messiah. He is a savior figure for the Jewish people. So this has great implications in our study of Messiah and what's going to happen, not just in the past, but we're going to see that the life of Joseph shows us a great deal about what will take place in the future, especially the last couple chapters of the book of Genesis, when Yaakov blesses his sons. So all of this is very important, but before we get there, we need to summarize something. And that is, there's two people that are going to come out of this origin. Genesis is a book of origins. And we see the origin of God's people, Bnei Yaakov, the children of Jacob, and the origin of those who are going to be destroyed. And what people is this? Well, we call them prophetically Edom. Edom is a nation that is always, always, always against the purposes, the plan, the prophetic truth of Scripture. And the poster boy, their patriarch, their leader was Asaph. Asaph, as we saw earlier on in our study of Genesis, in Genesis 25, he hated the birthright. What does that mean? He despised the heritage. And the heritage is a covenantal heritage that wants to bring about blessing upon all people potentially. That's God's desire, to bless all people. Asaph was not interested in that. And the measure that you use will be measured back upon you. If you're not interested in being a blessing, you're not going to receive a blessing. And if you don't receive a blessing, you're going to be cursed. If you don't experience life, you're going to experience eternal death. That is everlasting condemnation. And that is what we're going to find out about Edom. They are the eternal enemy of God. Well, in this 36th chapter, we're going to come across a genealogy. And better said, the Hebrew word todot is in the plural, so genealogies of the family of Asaph. And we're going to find that there's information. Genealogies oftentimes contain more than just who fathered who, or who gave birth to who, if women are mentioned, and there's many women that are mentioned in this genealogy. We're going to find out information about Asaph's character and his motivations and his activities. So let's begin. Look with me, Genesis chapter 36, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And these are the genealogies of Asaph. He is Edom." So this expression, "who Edom," is going to repeat itself 9 times. Now, this is significant, because why are we told the same thing over and over 9 times? In order to emphasize that these individuals are the heritage of the enemies of God. And we'll see reasons why in just a few minutes. Once more, verse 1. These are the genealogies of Asaph. This is Edom, verse 2. And Asaph took wives from the daughters of Canaan. Now right there, this is against what Yitzchak and Rivka told to their sons. This is why Yaakov departed and went towards Haran in order not to take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. This was not the case in rebellious, disobedient Asaph. Asaph, as we know, an evil one who is perverse, he was an individual that disobeyed and he took wives from the very people that God said not to. How did God say it? Through his parents. So he was disobedient. He did not honor his parents. And this shows a dishonoring towards God. So he took wives from the daughters of Canaan. And who were they? Adah, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. Now, the Hittites, according to tradition, were among the strongest of the Canaanites. So he did not base his decisions upon revelation, upon God's instruction, but rather he based them upon the flesh. He looked at things from his vantage point and acted. And let me just say, that is a very dangerous methodology. To act based upon how you see things, this is always going to lead to your defeat, and Edom will be a defeated people. Well, move on. It says in the second part of verse 2, and Oholibamah, the daughter of Anan, the daughter of Sivon the Hittite. So it was not something once, but it was repeated. So he consistently disobeyed God, making decisions based upon the flesh. Now we have another woman, Basmat, the daughter of Yishmael. Here again, Yishmael, not part of God's covenantal plan, not the heritage of the Lord. And this is exactly who he goes for. So he marries, it says that he takes Basmat, the daughter of Yishmael, the sister of Nevi'ot. So we find here that Asaph is making decisions based upon the flesh with no respect to God's instructions. Verse 4. And Adah gave birth to Asaph, meaning she gave birth to her husband Asaph. And who did she give birth to? Eliphaz. And Basmat, she gave birth to Reuel. And all of these are laying the foundation for leaders within this people. So Asaph, and this is vital that you see this, he is, and this is going to become clearer in a few minutes, he is establishing his own people. He wants to establish in a few minutes his own nation. So he is not under Yaakov, God's choice. He is not part of submitting to, wanting to join in God's plan, but he is building something apart from it and in opposition to it. Well, let's continue. Look again at verse 4. Adah, she gave birth to her husband Esav, and she gave birth to Eliphaz. And this other wife, Basmat, she gave birth to Reuel. Verse 5. And Oholibamah, she gave birth to Yaush and Yalam and Korach. These are the sons of Asaph, which were born to him in the land of Canaan. Now, he did this apart from Yaakov. This is a summary statement, and we see a separation. Now, this separation is good. But what Asaph's going to want to do is to come together in order for the purpose of conquering and changing changing the whole character of the family of God under the leadership of Yaakov. So what happens? We'll look now to verse 6. And Esav took wives and sons and daughters and all of the souls, meaning all the people of his house and all of his cattle and all of his animals and all of his possessions which he acquired in the land of Canaan. He went, meaning he brought them, he came with that to the land before Yaakov, his brother. Now, he came there in order to join together and become the leader. And in doing so, he would change the character. This man was not submissive to the instructions of God. But Yaakov was. He was interested. He pursued. And that's what the name Yaakov means. To follow after. He was following after the things of God. But notice how God, in his providence, brought about a separation. Look, if you would, to verse 7. Because it was their possessions great. So because their possessions were great, meaning they had a lot, they were not able to dwell together. Because the land of their sojourning was not able to carry them before all of their cattle. Therefore, look at verse 8. This is very important. I highlighted it in my Bible. And Esav, he dwelt in the land of Seir. Now, this is important because Seir, it is a place, you can look, for example, I believe in Ezekiel 35, that when Messiah, when he comes back, he is going to destroy that location. So Esav is led to go to the place where Messiah is going to destroy. Let me point out that prophetically we know that Messiah is coming to three locations. The final one is, of course, the Mount of Olives. We look at this in the book of Zechariah 14 and also in the book of Acts. Messiah will return to the place he ascended from, the Mount of Olives. But two other places are located as well for his return. So he's also, in addition to coming to the Mount of Olives at the end, he's going to Armageddon, that is Har Megiddo, to destroy this large army that's coming up to Jerusalem for war. I believe that is the second location. The third is, as I said, the Mount of Olives. And the first is what we're talking about now, Har Seir, the mountain of Seir. Although the scripture is not dogmatic about which comes first and which is second, we know that the third is the Mount of Olives. It's chronologically reasonable that it will come first to Seir and destroy this mountain of Edom. This is where Edom is going. So look again at verse 8. And Esav dwelt in the mountain of Seir. Esav, who is Edom. That expression, Esav, he is Edom, is to tell us that he is heading for destruction. Verse 9. And these are the genealogies of Esav, the father of Edom. This is the third time we're spoken about how Edom and Esav are one and the same. Once more, these are the genealogies of Esav, the father of Edom, in Mount Seir. So now he's left Canaan, and he's in Mount Seir, and his family's being increased. These are the names of the sons of Esav, and they are Eliphaz, the son of Adah, the wife of Esav, and Reuel, the son of Basmat, the wife of Esav. Verse 11. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Sappho, Gaphtam, and Kenaz. These five sons. Verse 12. And Timnah was the concubine to Eliphaz, the son of Esav, and she bore to Eliphaz Amalek. Now underscore Amalek. Amalek, the Amalekites, also an enemy of the children of Israel. You might recall, for example, that in the book of Exodus, chapter 17, remember, the children of Israel come out of Egypt being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They're on their way to the promised land. They cross over the Red Sea, and they have been victorious because of God's supernatural power. So this is the crossing of the Red Sea, the defeat of Paro at that sea, is a proclamation that God is with them. And who attacks immediately thereafter, we find the Amalekites attack the weak, the sick, the tired. Now, they knew they weren't able to defeat the children of Israel because God was with them. But nevertheless, they wanted to inflict suffering. That's Amalek. And by the way, Haman, that wicked Haman, in the book of Esther, he comes from the same heritage. Verse 12 at the end. For these are the children of Adah, the wife of Esav. Verse 13. And these are the sons of Reuel, Nahat, Zerach, Shema, and Mizah. These were the sons of Basmat, the wife of Esav. Now, this is a summary statement. Then we move on. Look at verse 14. These were the sons of Oholibama, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Sivon, the wife of Esav. And she gave birth to Esav once again, meaning Esav was the father. She gave birth to him, the individual called Yeush, and also Yalam and Korah. Verse 15. These were, and we have a very important word. You need to learn this Hebrew word because I'm going to be using it. It's the word aluf. Aluf, in modern Hebrew, it's used for a champion. It can also be used for a very high general in the Israeli army. And it speaks about, in this case, a patriarch, a leader, a chief, a captain of his family. So aluf is a leader of a family. So look again at this text, verse 15. These were the alufei, meaning the captains, the leaders, the generals, the patriarchs of the sons of Esav, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esav. And who were these leaders? Aluf Teman, Aluf Omar, Aluf Tzavo, Safo, Aluf Kanas, Aluf Korach, Aluf Gavtam, Aluf Amalek, Aluf. These were the captains of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. Now, we see something. Earlier on, we talked about the land of Seir, the mountain. And now, this has been turned into, as it says here, Eretz Edom. He has established his own land. Now, this is the land of Edom. And he can stay there, but he doesn't want to do this. We've already saw in the last days, Edom, with all the nations of the world, are going to come against the land of Israel. And they are going to be defeated by who? Messiah. He is going to be the one who defeats Edom. But now we see how he is establishing not part of God's covenantal purpose, but something in opposition to it. Verse 16, the second half. These are the sons of Adah. Here again, summary statement, and then we move on. Verse 17. These are the sons of Reuel, the son of Esav, the Aluf Nahat, Aluf Zerach, Aluf Shama, Aluf Mizah. These are the generals or the captains, the leaders of Reuel in the land of Edom. Verse 18. These are the sons of Basmat, the wife of Esav. These are the sons of Oholibama, the wife of Esav. Aluf Yeush, Aluf Yalam, Aluf Korach. These are the alufei, the captains, the leaders of Oholibama, the daughter of Anah, the wife of Esav. Verse 19. These are the sons of Esav. These are the generals, the alufeihem, and this is Edom. So we see the list of captains, leaders, patriarchs, and it says, this is Edom. A people have been established from Esav. Esav was not supposed to do that. He should have humbled himself and submitted to God's choice of Yaakov to be the leader of God's covenantal people. If he would have, he could have been blessed. But because he rebelled against this and wanted to start his own heritage, a heritage apart from the purposes of God, he's going to be destroyed. Look now to verse 20. These are the sons of Seir, the Horite, that dwelt in the land of Lotan, or in the land dwellers of the land. And they are Lotan, Shoval, Siv'on, and Anah. Dishan, Etzer, Dishan, these are the Alufei, the captains of Hori, the sons of Seir in the land of Edom. So once again, we're just seeing a fuller picture of this genealogy. Now look at verse 22. And the sons of Lotan, they were Hori, Hamam, who were the daughter of Lotan, or the sister of Lotan, Timnah. So we're getting Timnah, other locations. These individuals oftentimes become locations, cities. Verse 23, and these were the sons of Shoval, Alvan, Manachat, Eval, Shapho, and Onam. Verse 24. Now, in verse 24, we see something. Here is an important statement on the character of this people. We read in verse 24, these are the sons of Siv'on, Ayah, Anah, this is Anan, who found the, in your Bibles will say, spring, the hot springs or waters. Now, this is a misinterpretation of the word. It's not Ha-Yamim, but it's Ha-Yamim. What is this? Well, this is not from the word Maim, meaning water, but it's an ancient word for a mule. So what happened here, we find an individual breeded in an improper way, and the outcome was a mule. Now, this is against the instructions of God to mix breeds, but this is what was done. Look at it again, verse 24, the whole verse. These are the sons of Siv'on, Ayah, and Anah, and he is Anah which found the mules in the wilderness when he was shepherding the donkeys of Siv'on, his father. So he found them, meaning he discovered how you make a mule, and this is against the Torah. Verse 25, these are the sons of Anan, Dishan, and Ohalivama, the daughter of Anah. So we see how there's a confusion of the family. Some are saying this is a activity of, or an example of incest, an improper relationship. Verse 26, and these are the sons of Dishan, Chemda, Eshbor, and we see the individual Itran and Karan. Verse 27. These are the sons of Etzar, Bilhan, and Zaavan, and Akan. Verse 28. These are the sons of Dishan, Utz, and Aran. Verse 29. And these are the Alufei, the captains of the leaders, the patriarchs of Hori, Aluf Lotan, Aluf Shoval, Aluf Shiv'on, Aluf Anan, Aluf Dishan, Aluf Etzer, Aluf Dishan, Ela. These are the captains of Hori for their captains, meaning their leaders, in the lands of Seir. So we have a summary statement. Now we go to the last part of this chapter, beginning with verse 31, and notice what we find. These are the kings which ruled in the land of Edom before a king of the children of Israel ruled. Now, verse 31 is very important because here it foreshadows something. Edom, they had their kings, they were ruling this land. What land? The land of Edom. We've already talked about how they want to expand back into the land of Canaan, but God's not going to allow it. In other words, we see a foreshadowing that one of the kings of Israel is going to rule over the land of Edom. And that's why it's so important for people to make a decision. Who are you submitting to? Who are you supporting? Are you going to support a plan that God has revealed prophetically throughout the scriptures in expanding the land of Israel? Or are you going to be with Edom, meaning in modern day the Palestinians, who want to overtake the land of Israel? It's just that simple. This is not hard to understand or be able to comprehend what's going on in the world today. There's a battle for the Palestinians who come from Edom, this area of land, that they would want to receive the inheritance of the sons of Yaakov. And they're going to be defeated by a king who's going to rule over that land. I believe that king ultimately is Messiah. So look again at verse 31. These are the kings which ruled in the land of Edom before a king ruled for the children of Israel. Verse 32. And ruled in Edom an individual called Bela, the son of Beor. The name of his city was Din Hava. So we have a historical basis. Verse 33. And Bela died and ruled in his place Yovav, the son of Zerah from Bozrah. Bozrah is also mentioned prophetically. And this is where, as well, Messiah is going to come and destroy in the last day that place. So we're having many prophetic indicators from the scripture about the destruction of Edom. And that should not surprise us. As we said, the word of God speaks about his hatred for Esau and the Edomites. They're one and the same. They're individuals that want to thwart the purposes of God. They stand against what God prophetically has promised. Look now to verse 34. And Yovav, he died and ruled in his place, Husham, in the land of the Temani. Now, this is the country known as Yemen of today. In fact, we're seeing places that describes the Muslim world of today. I didn't go into all of this, but when we look at these places and names, this is what's being revealed. The area surrounding the land of Israel. And we know from Psalm 83, those places are where the enemy is going to be. So these rulers are future enemies of the children of Israel, the lands which they ruled over. Verse 35. And Husham died and ruled in his place Hadar, the son of Bedad. And he gave a blow to Midian in the fields of Moab, and the name of his city was Avit. And Hadad died and ruled in his place Samla from Mashraka. Verse 37. And Samla died and ruled in his place Shaul from Rehovot HaNahar. Verse 38. And Shaul died and ruled in his place Baal Hanan, son of Achbor. And Baal Hanan, the son of Achbor, died and ruled in his place Hadar. And the name of his city was Paul. And the name of his wife was Mehatavel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezahav. Verse 40. These are the names of Alufei Esav, the captains, the patriarch, the chief of Esav, according to their families, according to their places in their names. Aluf Timan, Aluf Alva, Aluf Yetet, Aluf Ohalivama, Aluf Ela, Aluf Pino. Aluf Kanaz, Aluf Teman, Aluf Mipsar, Aluf Magdiel, Aluf Iram. These are the captains, the leaders, the patriarchs of Edom, according to their dwelling places in the land, and their, and it uses the word, their estates. And it all was Esav, who was the father of Edom. So once again, we have a pinpointed genealogy of individuals, and these individuals oftentimes become locations in and of themselves. They ruled this land. They became a mighty. What this is saying is that they expanded greatly. They were a strong people. But in the end, as we saw in verse 31, there is a king coming who is going to rule over them. And prophetically, it is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Messiah. So this is why it's so important that we decide what group of individuals are we going to support? What side are we going to be on? The children of Israel who are with the Messiah, who are going to be victorious, or are we going to believe the lie, make decisions based upon how we see them with our eyes, and we are going to try to thwart with those who are Edom, that is that enemy, the eternal enemy of God? Are we going to join with them and want the land of Israel, the promised land, to be given to them? It comes down to that simple truth. Well, I'm going to close with that, and I'm going to share with you my excitement for what's going to begin next week when we begin Genesis chapter 37, looking at the life of Yosef. And even though he went through some very difficult times, remember this key verse that we'll see over and over in the upcoming weeks, but God was with him. It all comes down to this. Do you want to be with God, or do you want to be alone in the judgment of God for siding with the enemies to God's purposes and plans? Well, until next week, may God richly bless you. Shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with Him. Shalom from Israel.